Welcome to the Qumran Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson, and I'm in the studio with my co-host, Earlene Anthony. This week, we will be talking about artists in the recovery zone with Hak Makmuran. I'll get that right. Fine Arts Coordinator at the LAMP community located at 526 South San Pedro Street, downtown Los Angeles. But first, I have on the line from Mexico, Hector Barajas. He's part of an organization called Banished Veteran, a group of honorably discharged veterans who was deported because they didn't have their American citizenship and picked up a felony, which in many cases was related to the trauma they received in combat. Hector, welcome to the Qumran Report.
Well, hey, Melvin, how's it going? I'm doing fine over here. We're doing what we can over here in Mexico right now.
Oh, yeah, good to hear from you. Hey, can you tell us, tell our audience exactly what is the Banished Veteran?
Banished Veterans is a group of deported veterans who are trying to raise awareness of a law. Well, basically, the United States government has been deporting honorably discharged veterans anywhere from the Vietnam War to current Iraq and Afghanistan veterans who are not U.S. citizens, and after their service had some kind of a felony, or even not even necessarily felonies, but also paperwork issues that they didn't renew in time. So they were deported by the U.S. government. A lot of them are eligible for benefits. And that's one of the projects that we're working on right now is getting the VA to make sure that we get our benefits and getting seen by an outside provider over here in Mexico or wherever. I got veterans. I just got an email from somebody yesterday where I got a guy deported to Jamaica, and we're trying to help him out as well. So we have veterans deported to many countries around the world, not just Mexico. Mm-hmm. The majority are from Mexico, but we have guys deported to Italy, Canada, you name it.
Okay. Now, can you tell us, what is the daily routine like for the Banished Veterans?
Well, for ourselves, we've already started working at a call center. We actually call the United States. We're working for an American. But we start with checking our emails. And like I said, I just had an email from a lady that her son is deported to Jamaica. He served in the Gulf War, and he's now deported for life. So she's trying to find out what exactly we can do for her. And we can't really do anything as an organization, but we can give her the basics, you know, for him to drop his felony to a misdemeanor. He can apply for U.S. citizenship, even with his deportation after President Bush's law that says if you have honorable discharge and you don't have a felony on your record, you can apply for citizenship. So we're eligible for that. And that's basically it. You know, we're working on our claims and our personal cases. We helped one guy today get his Mexican ID. Mm-hmm. We got to be witnesses for him. So there's a lot of things that we do. It's just not just taking guys in. We help them with their paperwork, their claims, working with attorneys, doing interviews. We got four documentaries coming this year that are going to come out all over the nation. So there's a lot of things that we're working on just trying to get ourselves squared away, you know.
Yeah, I know. And look, I discussed with Jeff Norman. He's the director of the Veterans Project. I think I sent you an email about it, about a stand down for the Banished Veterans, and he's receptive to that. They just had a stand down in Venice that was very successful a couple weeks ago. I think I told Ernie about it, Ernie up in Long Beach. But now, how can we make that happen? What would it take to get that stand down over there? And would it be?
Well, they just said you guys just have to come down. A lot of people have this thing about Mexico. You know, there's the killings and beheadings and all these things.
Yeah.
There is a drug war going on down here. There's a lot of things that are happening, but it's this part of the area that I'm in is not as dangerous. If you go down south, you got to worry about things going on over there. But right here, it's calm.
Is it pretty close to Tijuana? Pretty close to Tijuana? Is it pretty?
Oh yeah, we're like 30 minutes away from San Diego.
Okay.
So we're in a good area where we can have people come down here and have a stand down, and if they want to help us in that, and we're ready. We don't have anything, you know.
Okay.
So we would love to.
And look, I have one of our guests in here, Romario Puentes. He want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches.
Mi pregunta es cómo le está yendo. ¿Hay mucho frío en Tijuana?
Ahorita está haciendo frío, sí, bastante.
¿Oh, sí?
Y pues imagínense los que andan en las calles, que necesitamos que tratar de ayudarles. Pero sí, está haciendo bastante frío porque estamos junto a la playa. Yo ahorita estoy en Rosarito. Mucho frío.
Ajá. Sí, porque le estaba comentando aquí al señor Melvin que mi hermano vive ahí en Tijuana y él vende así cosas como cosas mexicanas ahí en la línea. Y dije, pues si ellos están por ahí, probablemente alguna pregunta o les puede ayudar con algo a mí, porque yo sé que necesitan ayuda, porque en México es duro sin a mí, sobre todo si no tienes así como trabajo o algo así, ¿verdad?
Si no conoces a nadie, porque te mandan a un lugar donde realmente muchos de nosotros no hemos conocido, entonces es difícil ajustarse a la vida aquí, pero no es algo imposible, pero sí es difícil cuando estás aquí solo.
Sí, ajá. Bueno, pues...
Y si nos quiere pasar la información de él, estaríamos, nos gustaría, para ver si podemos contactar, y tal vez él, por cualquier medio, nos pueda ayudar. Nunca sabe la en qué lo se puede usar una persona.
Sí. Si fuera tan amable aquel señor Melvin, yo creo que él tiene tu dirección, ¿verdad?
Y sí, Melvin tiene toda mi información, sí.
Tiene toda tu información. Yo le doy la información de mi hermano allá, en caso de que se necesite algo, un contacto o algo, pues espero que les ayuden algo.
Sí, una de las cosas que tenemos muchos problemas es que mucha gente viene para acá y no tenemos muchos contactos en Tijuana, entonces cuando vienen para acá o cuando andamos allá, no, Tijuana está grandísimo, y entonces necesitamos a alguien que sea confidencial, que nos pueda tal vez llevar a ciertos lugares o a esperar a una persona. Como reporteros, una reportera vino de Chicago.
Ajá.
Y tuvimos que esperarla, y en veces se necesita alguien así que nos pueda ayudar en ese aspecto.
Sí, porque...
Sí, estaríamos muy interesados.
Ah, pues sí, que porque mi hermano es como una persona así también, como que le gusta ayudar a la gente que tiene problemas de drogadicción y alcohol y todo eso. Y él está involucrado.
¿Está deportado él también?
También está deportado.
Pues nos podemos ayudar unos al otro. Nomás ayudo a las personas que están deportadas, que son veteranos. Ya estamos en México, hay que ayudar a nuestra comunidad. Y si podemos ayudar a otro hermano mexicano o a tener contactos, network, entonces, ¿por qué no con su hermano y a ver qué pasa?
Oh, sí.
Sí, me gustaría mucho hablar con él.
Muy bien. Entonces, yo le doy aquí la información a aquel señor Melvin y espero que todo le salga bien, y mucha suerte, y saludos a México.
Igualmente, André, gracias.
Gracias.
Yeah, all right, Hector, that sounds like a very interesting conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Look, Hector, let me ask you this. What can the community members over here do to help the banished veterans, especially the families?
What we're having a struggle with is the basic, some of these guys don't have jobs. Some of these are Vietnam veterans that were drafted into Vietnam. They're in their 70s, and they need help, even canned goods or clothing. But whatever, if somebody has even a talent, if they know how to work on websites, if they know how to do counseling, and they want to come down here and maybe spend a week with us, spend a weekend to help these guys and lift the morale, that would be, something great. If somebody, anything, we need anything and everything, because we're starting from the root. From the ground, and we're not a fully established organization, and we don't really have any funding from anybody. So any help would be great, and they can visit our website, banishedveterans.info, and check out the support house part of that section, or donate through PayPal or whatever. Like I said, we take anything. We need all kinds of help, attorneys, anything.
Okay. You want to ask any questions?
Hello?
Okay, I'm trying to see if my other guests want to ask you any questions, but I think we just about covered it. And, hey, thank you very much for taking the time. I'll be back in touch with you. I'm going to talk to you tomorrow. A couple of things I want to ask you.
Yeah, I'll be waiting on your call tomorrow. If not, I'll call you during the day.
Okay, then. Thank you very much, Hector.
All Okay, thank you. Thank you, Melvin. Thank you for giving us a some time. Thank you. Right. God bless.
Yes. Hector Barah of the Banish Vet. Okay. Now, I'm delighted to have with us in the studio, Hak Mamounyan. He's a fine arts coordinator at the LAMP community located in the downtown Skid Row area. He's trained in representational painting and drawings. Hak combined his keen interest in art therapy and art education with past experience of working with a variety of individuals from children to senior citizens to maintain and develop an arts program that is client-centered and integrated into the larger community. Hak, welcome to the Qumran Report.
Thank you. Thank you, Melvin.
Also with us in the studio, you've heard him earlier, Romario Puentes and Marion Polk. And I'm also here with my co-host, Earlene Anthony. I'm going to start off with, Hak, can you tell us a little about yourself and how did you get involved with the LAMP community?
All right. First off, I want to thank you, Melvin. Thank you, Orlean. And thanks, Skid Row Studios and the Qumran Report for inviting us here today. It's really great to be here and to spread the message. You know, I'm not much of a public speaker, but I think it's too important of the message not to skip on. So my name is Hak Mamounyan, and my appearance at LAMP, how I connected to LAMP, I think it's like a testament to how everything is interconnected. I was about to graduate from college with a degree in illustration, and I was teaching art to senior citizens on the side at an organization called Engage, the Art of Active Aging. And my colleague, who actually happens to have worked for LAMP, she recommended that I interview for LAMP, and at the time I didn't know what LAMP was. And really had never been to the Skid Row community and didn't really go to downtown that much. But it fit perfectly my interest in art as a form of therapy, my interest in engagement with community, and of course my background in arts fits so well with the arts program at LAMP. And I've been there for 4 years since, and I'm proud to say with the together as a team with all the artists, we've been able to do some great things.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell us exactly, what is the LAMP community?
It's a great question. So LAMP community is a nonprofit organization, ends homelessness of Los Angeles' most vulnerable individuals, primarily focuses on adults with mental illness, and through a continuum of services and housing. How does it do it? Through the continuum of services and housing and enabling them to reach their highest level of self-sufficiency and community integration.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is art therapy? Can you define that? We hear that term all the time, art therapy.
Right. It's a lot of things, really. And I think when I get asked whether art program is an art therapy program, the first thing that I clarify is that, no, it's an arts program. It just takes as a firm belief that the process of being creative, making art, is inherently therapeutic. Mm-hmm. There is a clinical, very important sort of element to art therapy. That's not exactly what we do. We, again, like I said, we take that idea that creativity by the virtue of just at its core, taking you out of the isolation of your own self, is therapeutic. And it also, as part of its foundation, has community building, because you're sharing something with the rest of the world, with the community. It's both therapeutic for the individual, and it's therapeutic as something that can be building a foundation for something that would last a long time, because it connects you back to the community.
Mm-hmm. Now, how is art tied into recovery from your experience, especially down in the recovery zone, the Skid Row area?
Right. And I think I can just give you an overview, and the two artists that we have here would be able to really, really open the parenthesis on that. I think recovery, again, for most people, for people, has a lot to do with with how you constructively use your time to fulfill something that truly genuinely interests you, to really do something that is going to motivate you to stay on that path. And arts, again, because it has this amazing ability, creativity to remind you that you have a voice that it can be heard and can be shared and can inspire someone else. It's this magic key to be able to stay in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to let Marlon here add, if he wants to add something to that question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot to add to, but I try to be as brief as possible. One is not just channeling, but having an outlet to express yourself. Sometimes we want to be negative and we want to strike out. But through art, we have a way of doing things productively, creatively. It could, you know, all that anger and our hurt, pain, sorrow, all the negativity that we may acquire, you know, through recovery or because of these elements, we are in recovery. And it, for me, has given me a chance to express my self-worth, you know. And, but people need to know about their self-worth in order to be able to generate it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And through these programs, visual and the audio arts program, fine arts aspect, that is, they have a way of channeling that, expressing themselves, you know, in a positive way, mm-hmm. very positive way.
All right, let me ask you, and first let me apologize because I call you... And they call you Marion. It's Marlon, like Marlon Brando.
Whoa, there you go.
Yeah. I apologize for that.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm a writer myself, a playwright and a screenwriter. And we all always hear about writing, the creating in isolation, because you use the by yourself. And I started thinking about that when I first heard it, because, right, you're by yourself when you, I know a playwright is when you're writing. For an artist, is it a similar process when you're creating, when you're painting? Is it an isolation thing, just you, or what? You create when you're by yourself?
First, I will speak for myself,
mm-hmm.
then on behalf of others. But first, let me speak for myself. My character, I'm ambiverted, that being introverted and extroverted. You know, I love being around a lot of people, and this time I like being alone. On that isolation, we're done in a positive, constructive way. It allows you to just focus the center on something. And, you know, you have to be alone sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, in the spiritual sense, you know, you're alone with your creator,
mm-hmm.
you know, who's giving you all these inputs and everything, being stimulated. But that's mm-hmm. when we go beyond our limitations. But mm-hmm. as far as, like I say, me, myself, I'm able to just relax, be still, be quiet, and just taking the things of the natural elements,
mm-hmm.
you know. Yeah. And then I like to express it, or at times in a group setting, you know, get other ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it all springs from the individual being mm-hmm. alone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, also, we have in the studio with us also Romario Puentes. Can you tell us how you got involved with LAMP? And what your experience is over there.
Sure. Do you mind if I speak in Spanish?
Oh, go.
And somebody translate?
Yes.
Okay. Bueno, como mi envolvimiento con la comunidad de LAMP community fue porque yo era una persona sin hogar por 2 años y vivía, yo nunca había venido al ski road, y al principio fue muy duro para mí hacer el cambio, porque yo dormía en mi carro en Pasadena por 2 años hasta que tuve problemas de salud. Entonces pues tuve que encontrar un cuarto y este me bueno me acomodaron aquí en un cuarto en la Quinta y la Main, en un hotel. Y al principio para mí era muy dificultoso, porque como yo tengo 66 años y nunca había estado en una situación como en la que me encontraba, viendo tanto pobreza y tanto
Okay, so you say you started off sleeping in your car, but mm-hmm. you got a room in your car
for 2 years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you sleep on Skid Row in your car for 2 years.
No,
okay,
no.
You've had your room.
Yeah,
in Pasadena.
I sleep 2 years in Pasadena on my car, and then I moved to downtown LA.
Downtown
for
now,
a room.
How did you How did you start off in the arts, painting and drawing?
Well, I have so much free time, like mm-hmm. I don't know what to do, and I don't want to be just like just up and down on the streets, like most of the people on the ski road are, you know,
yeah,
like lost, like they don't know what to do.
Yeah,
and I was walking on San Pedro Street, and I passed by this place. It says Art Community Center. And he says it says there that you can come in and to introduce to art and ask for Mr. Hike. So I went there, and sure enough, I asked Mr. Hike, and he was very kindly, and he enrolled me in the program.
Mm-hmm. Did he see any of your work? You had some of your work with you, artistic, your pictures and stuff with you?
Yes, as a matter of fact, last month we were at the...
We were part of an art show that Romero is referring to, and he actually, for the first time, he sold a painting last month. Yeah.
I was surprised.
Romero, I think, is very, very... it has a very interesting artistic path, because he started off really with that genuine interest to try something, to discover something, and he wasn't sure exactly. We've had many conversations with him, and I think he'll be able to add. I just want to have remind him perhaps about what are some of the things that he kind of went through, and he really was he was questioning, you know, why am I doing this? He was really not sure, you know, like the questions that you asked me in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
why art, you know, why do I do art? And and I perhaps was very stubborn, and I was like, you know, well, you know, try doing this, try doing that, and tell me, you know, what do you think? And sure enough, slowly it was this something that I was discovering as well, because it's the easy way is for like someone who has already a lot of experience in arts, and they come and they have this kind of like established view, and sometimes actually you have to break down that view a little bit too, because that can be a very narrow path in itself. Ramiro was in a place where he knew that he wanted something to say, but art always was something that I think he said something one time, it really stuck in my mind. They said, I always thought that art is not for me. It's like an elite thing. It was presented to me by society that was something that, hey, you know, you have to do something to get there, to then deserve to be artistic and creative. And when he found a space where he could just try something without someone having to tell him whether he's doing something right or wrong, all of a sudden... slowly, he started to. I'll stop speaking for him, but at this point. But what did you discover when you started making this adventurous kind of impasse into artistic self expression?
Well, at the beginning, I was afraid. I mean, even if I make a line, I'd say I was afraid, you know. But slowly, I discovered it was fun, and it was the colors and the And whatever I put, it was fun. And like in the beginning, I don't like it. And then I just leave it alone. Next day I see it, and I start like it. I say, well, it's not too bad, it's not too bad. So I try to incorporate more stuff. Now I really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. You know, even I don't consider myself an artist, but I mean,
Mr. But he Hike sold the says, painting.
You're artist.
Yeah, you say, I just feel like it's kind of fun, and it's a relaxing thing for my mind too. I feel relaxing and happy and mm-hmm. just mess up with colors or whatever. And mm-hmm.
let me ask this for all three of you as visual artists. Is there, what is the process? When you want to paint something, is it just an inspiration that you see it visually and then you got to get it on the screen? Or you say, I want to paint something and you're going to start with the outline? Is it a combination of both? Or people got different process on what end up on that canvas?
You know, before I did music or theater or any other kind of art, I started off as a visual artist. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was a combination of things, just either my childhood dreams, you know, because I started early when I became a visual artist. Things I would imagine, things I got off the TV, you know. My mind was always going, and things that I saw, you know, with still life, mm-hmm. you know, just everything, a combination, mm-hmm. damn it, of everything, just, you know.
And in a particular picture, there's a whole story there. Like like when you're writing a script, you got a whole story there. When you get ready to put something on canvas, that particular picture tells a story also, right? Yeah.
Yeah, whether it's canvas or a musical piece, like with Marlon's work, and or a piece of writing, right? Or a dance, for that matter. It's a story. At the same time, I often like to describe it as something that is a glimpse into a story too, because it could have something happening before it or after it. But that's where the audience really gets engaged, and you mm-hmm. try to see whether what how it connects to you. And of course, it's first and foremost also a way for the artist to bring out something that's in them, and that's again kind of comes back to that whole therapeutic element, because a lot of times any difficulties that require therapy have to do with inability or difficulty with the ability to mm-hmm. get something out of your system, right? And so arts, by definition, that's what this art is, communication by definition. Mm-hmm. I just want to clarify something. To get back to the art program, of course, you know, we talked mm-hmm. about LAMP community, and within it, one of the services of LAMP is the LAMP Fine Arts Program, which is us. And we have started as a visual arts professional studio space for artists to engage in independent long-term or short-term projects. And one of our latest additions has been a music studio, mm-hmm. and now also trying to make inroads into writing. So mm-hmm. at the core of it is that any form of creativity can do this, and it really is up to the individual who engages mm-hmm. the creativity, the creative process, to choose which way, the wider array of things, of creative paths that we provide, the more the chance, of course, that the person is going to find their individual path.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was going to ask you about next. What do you mean by an arts program that is client-centered and integrated into the larger community?
That's a very important part, I feel, of the program. Client-centered simply for me means that I look at our artists to hear what we need to do, where we need to move in the program. It's And that in itself, I think, connects it first to the immediate community, because we come as with our ears open, first and foremost. We want to listen to what a community, especially like ours, the Skid Row community, where people who are homeless are probably get the least chance to be heard and to be listened to. One of the most important things is to, first of all, listen and to hear what are the real needs, and not just needs that I might think that they have, and work, move forward based on that. So that's client-centered in my mind, and integrate into larger community. I mean, it starts with the immediate one and then grows from there, because at any point, and I dare say all the way until you get to the planet, and if you stay within a certain parameters and say, oh, I got to stop there, then you're still in a vacuum, not mm-hmm. looking at the larger world. So I truly feel that even though we may be impacting very local community, like the Skid Row community, we do it with the vision that spreads mm-hmm. throughout the world.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Well, two things. Number one is it's a fine arts program, and the artists, do they get a chance to participate in the monthly arts walk program? Do it reach that far up?
That's a great question. Yeah, we try to as much as we can. That's, you know, part of course, on a very real ground level, what is larger community? It's Los Angeles right here. And so mm-hmm. We try to, whenever we can, to get out to the art walk, the Los Angeles art walk, and we've done it in various ways. Our latest one, the one that's coming up in a few days on December 13th, is going to be in Chinatown from 6 to 9 p.m. We're going to coincide it with the downtown art walk. But it's an art show of its own, 6 to 9 p.m. Like I said, it's our first annual holiday art show. We're starting a new tradition here. And we really want to integrate all the arts that we currently have within our program. So in addition to just the visual art, there's going to be paintings that people will be able to see and to buy if they'd like. There is going to be also a music element to it, in which Marlon will be taking part.
Beautiful. We're looking forward to that. Let me ask you something else. What is representational painting and drawing?
Representational painting, drawing. That's so like a, perhaps a little fancier way to say figurative stuff, stuff that you look at and it has something that you can recognize in it. Mm-hmm. It's not abstract, in other words. You look at it and you see a chair, you see a person. Traditional illustration, which is what I am trained in, is, if not entirely, almost entirely representational drawing and painting. It's very close to what we see as our as fine arts in the very, very kind of traditional, what I would like to say, very outdated sense. And it gives a good foundation, but I'm happy to say that I've been able to expand my view of what arts can be, of course, and root myself in representational, and then find the abstract in the representational, find all the other elements that also encompass the wide array of things that is.
Okay. Arts. Now, do you guys have a theater drama program yet?
Don't have one yet.
Yeah, because we would love to come over there and do
I
it
would
work.
Love to have you guys over there.
Or perform or something like that. Now, also, Carmen Vega is conducting a poetry writing workshop entitled The Writer in You, which is a creative writing workshop to liberate, stimulate poetry writings. And that workshop is, the next workshop is Thursday, December the 20th, 2012, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. at the LAMP community, which is 526 San Pedro Street, downtown L.A. And we mentioned again in our community calendar, Can you talk about this addition to your
project? Absolutely. Carmen has been an amazing addition to our team, and she's an artist as well, a visual artist, as well as, of course, a writer. That's mm-hmm. her core direction. And she offered to do a creative writing workshop, poetry workshop with us. And we've had the first workshop already, but don't let that discourage anyone who is listening. You can join at any point, you know, so please come on down on December 20th. And the first workshop was just incredible. We had, mm-hmm. A lot of people, 12 people came by, and there were a variety of exercises. There was a lot of sharing at the same time, of course, in a very non-judgmental atmosphere, and this yes. Positive feedback.
Yeah, she's
opened up a lot of people. I really, people came in kind of a little timid, of course, a little bit anxious about what is this going to be. And when they were walking out that door, boy, they were just smiles and smiles.
That's great. Okay, let's take a break for our community calendar, and then we'll come back and discuss artists in the recovery zone.
This is the community calendar for the month of December. Wednesday, December the 12th at 6:30 p.m., D-Link, which is Downtown Los Angeles Neighborhood Council, will have their monthly board meeting. And they're located at Los Angeles Theater, 615 South Broadway, and that's downtown Los Angeles. And the public is invited to attend. The public can also participate and by filling out a speaker card, and they can comment on non-agenda items. And they're limited to 2 minutes. A total time allowed is 10 minutes. On December the 13th, from 6 to 9 p.m., the LAMP community present the first LAMP annual holiday art show. The location is at Exhale Unlimited Gallery. The address is 953 Chongqing Road, Los Angeles. And this is free to the public, and all are invited to attend. On Thursday, December the 20th, from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., there is a free workshop, Carmen Vega and the LAMP Fine Arts Program present The Writer in You. This is a creative writing workshop to liberate and stimulate poetic writings. And the LAMP is located at the LAMP Village Community Room, 523 South San Pedro Street, and that's downtown Los Angeles. Also on Thursday, December the 20th, and this is from 3 to 5 p.m., the LAMP community present a holiday music program. Once again, they're located at 526 San Pedro Street. That's downtown Los Angeles. This is a free event, and they're asking the public to come and participate. There will be lots of music, and one of the favorites will be a sing-along. And this is just a reminder, if you have a community event that you would like announced on our show, send the information to dramastage1@yahoo.com, attention early Anthony. And our call-in number for the show is 800-893-9562. Now, back to our host.
Okay, thank you, Earlene Anthony. We're back in our studio with our guest, Hak Makmuyan, Marion Polk, Marlon Polk, and Ramiro Fuentes. But now, before we get into our discussion, our roundtable discussion, I would like to play a short interview I did in our Voices from the Community section. The interview is about 2 minutes and 15 seconds. Hey, welcome to the Coon Round Report. This is Melvin Ishmael Johnson. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be with you and your family. I'm standing on the corner of Hollywood Boulevard and Coinga.
And I got the artist Jason Byrd. He's going to talk to us a minute, and he's going to do a poem. I hope to have him on the show in the next few weeks. Jason Byrd.
Hello. This is Jason Byrd. They call me the poem man up here in Hollywood. I literally sell poems on the street corner for a dollar. Come check me out.
Tell them where you be at.
Most days you can catch me somewhere between Hollywood and Cahuenga, and Hollywood and Wilcox, and Selma and Wilcox, and Selma and Cahuenga. Somewhere in that four-block little corridor. I'm around here. I'm selling poems. If you don't see me, ask one of the businesses where the poem man is. Chances is I'm somewhere having a bite to eat, smoking a blunt or something like that. Walk till you smell the weed.
All right, what's the poem you're going to read for?
I'm going to give you a taste of something. I call it Tick, Tick, No Boom.
Okay.
I used to be a little hothead back in my day. I'm from Baltimore. Like the rumors are true, and I used to be a part of all that. I'm a little calmer these days, so just a little piece of my mind. Tick, tick, no boom. Here it go. Hastily going crazy in the weirdest place on earth. Kushmar, please blaze me before I put a dude in the dirt. Thinking fathers had never been my strong suit. And these cats trying to carry the dug like he cails from the goof troop. I'm from B-more, quick to crack quails. I'm so sincere, and these ain't DuckTales. These street sales and free will, plus hard work and no free meals. But every time I gotta give one of these clowns a pass, cause I'm smelling bacon from the pigs who hail from up here. My soul squeals, and I die a little more inside, but at least my ink still spills. Jason Byrd, 2012 Street Corner, sir.
Okay, that's Jason Byrd, and I hope to have him on the Coon Round Report in the next few weeks. So thank you very much. This is Melvin Ishmael Johnson with the Coon Round Report. Okay, that was Jason Byrd from one of our voices from the community section, a little short section that we try to do on every program. Now, let's open up our round table for comments and discussion. First thing I like to throw out here is, how can the artistic community improve the life of the Skid Row community?
I think it, first and foremost, and I'm going to repeat myself, by providing a creative outlet in a community that more often than not silences the individuality of its members and residents, and really looks at them as just another number, it is, I think, a very, very important way of reminding people about who they are and what they can really contribute to the community. It really, at its best, can empower the person to be committed to a path that is constructive for themselves and for the entire community. Mm-hmm. And again, I want to stress it's all the arts. It's not all the creative outlets, and creativity, again, at core being communication that comes from the heart, communication that is your own interpretation and view on this world. That's creativity right there. I think creativity and critical thinking are actually very, very strongly linked with each other. I think we sometimes relegate creativity as some little hobby that you're going to do or something that your kid is going to do, and then they're going to grow out of, quote-unquote, and really, I hope no one ever grows out of creativity. That will be a sad day.
Okay. Marla.
How we can reach out to the community?
Yeah, how can the artistic community improve the life of the Skid Row community?
Improve. I'm glad you asked that. As first as reaching out, but improving is first meeting everybody on the same ground level. Individually, you know, me, I have gifts, talents, and skills that doesn't belong to me, but being given to me so that I can share it with others. And you can't grow unless you give it away. You can't expand unless you give it away. So in my case, I feel we have to really deal with people, again, on ground level, let them know their self-worth, let them know they are kings and queens. You know, they have a responsibility, mm-hmm. where every honor and privilege and all the good things in life and what they stand for, let them know they have a commitment and obligation to life.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it all springs from their self-worth, because some people who don't have a self-worth feel they don't have a responsibility.
Okay. Romero, you, what do you think? How can the artistic community...
To me, it's been a great experience. And when I doing some piece of art or whatever, and I see my fellow peers doing the same, in the morning when they come in, they're kind of stressful, sad, you know, tired, something like that. Mm-hmm. But once they start painting and they start having the coffee or whatever, and the faces are kind of start shining and bright, you know, happiness. So to me, that's the most beautiful thing for the person that happened to them, mm-hmm. and for me too. So my experience is that art is just a beautiful road to recovery and to be happy and forget about your problems and your stress and depressions mm-hmm. or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wonderful.
I have to add too. You know, as Hike was talking about, Hike Mgulam was saying, from the heart, everything has to be from the heart. And if your heart don't have contains love, you know, love for people, love for your creator, love for yourself, which is the two greatest commandments,
mm-hmm.
you know, then well, if you have this element, you can do a lot of things. You can move a lot of mountains. Along with moving mountains, you're moving people in the right direction, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always tell people I'm a people person and a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, I'm able to go the extra mile.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask this. Now, the fine arts community, you do like paintings, you do sculptures, you do all of that too, or just right now just paintings?
Right now, sketches. Right now, our focus is mostly on painting and drawing and visual creative art, and then music, of course. Mm-hmm. And again, our approach is that we first and foremost provide a safe and nurturing space where artists can engage in this kind of activity or activities. From an independent kind of approach, and then of course, stressing all the time that there is no preparation that is needed for this. Any kind of level of experience is very welcome,
mm-hmm.
and that approach then is supported by groups and workshops that have more structure, that have the elements that someone who is new might be able to come in and feel more comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, those same workshops could be a path for someone who's been in the studio for a while to learn something new, such as with the writing workshop. As far as the specific media that we use, at this point, drawing, painting with visual arts, music and music experimentation with music, and of course, the writing is the new addition. We mm-hmm. look forward to more and more creative
the writers. Let me ask you this: how is how do you integrate the music program? Do you have a music teacher, or how's the music program set up?
You want
go first.
So so the music program, we try to really take a look. When the music program started, we tried to take a look at our existing visual arts program and see what it really is about, and it taught us a lot actually about what we really stand for, and the idea of empowering the individual as an artist, as a creative soul. We try to bring that into the music, which means that again, the music program is first and foremost a music studio that allows people with any level of experience who are interested, though, to engage in sound, in making mm-hmm. noise, for that matter, mm-hmm. To come and try it out, to try out that adventure. Then, of course, there's also the element of workshops, which I mentioned. We have a jam session that happens every Tuesday, actually, from 3 to 4 p.m. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Everyone is welcome. Yeah, jam session every Tuesday at 3 p.m. However, we do not have teachers. The teachers would come in with workshops. We don't have that consistent yet with the music program, but that's something that we definitely can look forward to build on and add more. That would be part of the workshop studio, workshop and group element of our studio program.
Okay. Now let me go to our open mic session. I want Marlon to do a song. But you had a comment before you.
Yeah, because I can't do the song until I do this comment.
Go ahead.
I want to spurn from the jam session, the open jam session. Just incorporate people of any gender or talents or whatever they have, whether it's on a low degree or a high degree. And this is what I love about it because, first of all, we want people to feel comfortable. And this is going to also answer a lot of the questions we've asked about the music, moving in other directions, you know, feel comfortable. And this is the whole concept overall about being able to reach out to people out there in the community, don't make them feel intimidated, but make them feel wanted and needed. And it's a reciprocal, you know, not being intimidated ourselves or being scared because sometimes we have these negative views of people and we're scared to go out there and reach out for them. But when we come together in a jam session, in the original text, when musicians used to jam, and this also may answer the question about young people too.
Okay.
We come together to jam session. We came to bring something to the table, you know, not in competitively, but to share with one another. And when I was coming up in high school, when I first learned the flute, we had a MacArthur Park in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hispanic brothers, the Latino brothers, the Black brothers, you know, we all get together once in a while. There may be even a few other ethnic groups.
Mm-hmm.
But we came together, young and old, and this is how we brought people together.
Okay. Can you, we're winding down, I want you to do the songs for this little holiday season, give us good flavor.
But other, more things will be revealed in this
Marlon
process.
E. Polk.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, two-tight carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe will help the Christmas spirit be bright. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Okay, Marlon E. Polk, I want to give Hike the last word. We're winding down. Can you give us a closing comment?
Well, I want to thank you for inviting us over here again, and I want to really reiterate the spirit of community. I think that word was the key, so like something that was going through it, creativity and community, and I think those are intertwined, you know, by definition. And let's continue looking at our Skidrow community as a community and really seeing what assets this community has and how we can bring it together, continue these collaborations to build a stronger tomorrow.
Okay.
I don't know how cliche it sounds, but that's true. That's the truth. I want to just add, you can find us on Facebook. Go facebook.com/LEMP Art Project. That's one word, LEMP Art Project. And that's where you can find contact information and everything. If you have any questions about this coming up art show on December 13th on Thursday, and any other questions that you might have.
Beautiful. And then be sure to come out for that jam session. That's tomorrow, right?
That's tomorrow.
Yes.
At 3 to 4?
3 to 4.
Yeah, come out to the LEMP and check it out. Now, I would like to extend a special thing to my co-host, Earlene Anthony, my in-studio guest, Hak Makmuyan, Marlon E. Polk, Ramiro Puentes. So glad to have him in the studio with us. So thank you for tuning in to the Qumran Report. And from your host, Melvin Ishmael Johnson, may the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family.
Grace, Jeff.